The obesity rate is dropping among U.S. preschoolers who use government food vouchers. The Centers for Disease Control reports the rate of youngsters aged 2 through 4 dropped to about 14% in 2016. That's down from 16% in 2010. The study looked at those enrolled in the Federal Women, Infants, and Children Nutrition Program, WIC. For more, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Scott Kahan, the director of the National Center for Weight and Wellness in Washington, D.C. Thanks a lot for talking to us today. How big an issue is obesity among toddlers, and how do you determine if a toddler is obese?
So obesity is an issue across every area of America, from adults to older adults to teens to young children and to infants as well, and across all racial and ethnic boundaries as well. And so while it may be hard to stomach, if you will, no pun intended, that infants have a problem with obesity, it really is the case. And you do it the same way, you measure obesity the same way that you do with older kids or adults, which is you calculate their, you weigh them and get their height, or in infants it's a length because they're lying down, and then you use a formula, and that standardizes the number so that we can compare it to the rest of the population and see where they stand along the continuum of weights in the population.
How does an infant end up obese? I mean, how does this happen so early?
Well, so there's a number of reasons. First of all, of course, infants are not in charge of their own food decisions, but the foods that are put in front of them by their parents or in daycare settings and the like, those have over time become more caloric and potentially more fattening, just like the foods that are in front of older kids or in front of adults frequently. On top of that, obesity is very complex, and it can be, in a sense, passed from generation to generation. And that is more than just the habits that are passed along, but also physiologically. So when a mother, for example, develops obesity and or diabetes in pregnancy, that increases the risk of her unborn child gaining excess weight and potentially having other weight-related health problems, both in the infant period as well as later in life. And there are a number of genetic-related reasons and physiologic-related reasons that can happen.
Okay, so how does the government food program fit into this?
Well, for women, infant, and children below a certain poverty level and at risk for nutritional deficiencies, they have access to cash allowances to purchase foods to ensure that they get enough food and don't go hungry. The problem over time has been that the foods allowed within WIC tend to be very high-calorie foods and fairly unhealthy foods. In 2009, the list of foods that could be purchased with WIC money was updated. So in the new rules, there's more allowances for fruits and vegetables. It cuts the amount of juices and caloric juices that people could purchase, reduces the amount of cheese, requires low-fat or skim milk for the youngest kids, and requires whole grains instead of refined grains products. So it is thought that those changes are turning out to be quite positive. There's been a number of studies showing that WIC recipients are eating healthier. There's a reduction in juice purchases and an increase in fruits and vegetable intake. And combined with this data on obesity rates, although you know it's now 6 years of this decrease, we'd like to see a little bit longer. But this is certainly a potentially very positive outcome that we're seeing here.
Okay, I have to ask you quickly before we go, is there any threat of the WIC program being reduced?
That's above my pay grade.
Okay.
I would hope not. I think it's an important program for people who otherwise would be at even more risk of nutrition deficiencies and starvation. And so my hope is that this is extra evidence to support the value of the program.
Thanks for talking to us. Appreciate it. Scott Kahan, Director of National Center for Weight and Wellness in Washington, D.C.